gold-plated diapers.
Hey, Jellyheads, and welcome to another episode of
Flapdoodle Forum.
The show where we discuss the strange occurrences in society and culture.
And provide our insight and feedback for you to enjoy.
Welcome to our first video show, Dave.
Yay!
Oh, I just called you David.
Start to this episode.
How you doing, Matt? Doing
good. Good.
It's been a while since you were on Flapdoodle Forum, like a whole 2 weeks.
Well, that's the normal time that I'm not on Flapdoodle Forum.
It's just unbearable, man. Can't think of anything else to do except wait for you to come on.
We can't make this a weekly show because that much Flapdoodle is just
too much.
It's just going to overwhelm our
last coin now, needs to have its time to shine.
We have viewers now.
We do?
Yeah. Starting with this episode.
We have
graduated from listeners to viewers.
And listeners. Interesting, folks. This will be cut a little differently than the audio podcast. Aaron will edit this while I edit.
But you're going to cut out all of your gaffes and leave mine intact.
Yeah, of course. Actually, while I'm doing this.
Lucas, do you have something?
I don't know, Matt. Do you have something?
I ask you first.
Ask me. Just ask.
What are you getting at here?
Just start the conversation about flap-a-doodling and our doodly-doodly-doo conversations, carrot cake, all those things.
Why don't you start it? You're putting me on the spot. I don't know what you want.
So Matt,
Lucas, do you have a thing?
Do you have a thing? I have a thing.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Is it interesting?
Yes, it is.
Am I going to be blown away, man? Is this
you
going to be?
Absolutely will.
All right.
But I want you to go first.
You
this
want
time.
Me to no, go first this time?
I always All go right. first. All right. I got something really good, so I'm
going
to make
you. This is actually going to be a bit old.
Aw.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Well, because I...
Is it Dave old, or...?
No, not Dave old, but it's like, it came out in March, and I didn't know about it until my coworkers talked about it today. And I was like, what the hell are you two talking about? That doesn't make any sense to me. And what they were telling me was there's like 7 people... with keys to the internet? Scattered across the globe. It's like, the internet doesn't work like that. What are you talking about? And I'm like, yeah, dude. It was like in all the news and stuff. And I'm like, all right, I got to look
so
this
you
up.
Researched it.
So I went online and I researched. Report from The Guardian.
Oh, this sounds really interesting.
Where'd it go? This comes from businessinsider.com. Written by Julie Bort. The internet is actually controlled by 14 people who hold 7 secret keys. This sounds like something out of a Dan Brown book, but it isn't. The whole internet is controlled by 7 actual physical keys. The Guardian's James Ball was recently allowed to observe the secure ritual known as the key ceremony. The people conducted the ceremony are part of the organization called the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers. Or ICANN. ICANN is responsible for assigning numerical internet addresses for the website and computers and translating them into the normal web addresses that people type into their browsers. So I've heard of these people before.
Of course you have.
A group who kind of dealt with domain names, DNS stuff.
Right.
But, well, as you know, or those who don't know, the internet, if without them, you would have to input a number to visit a website. But with all this jazzy stuff they do, it lets you use words that associate
with
your
number. So like an IP address kind of that you'd have to use?
Yeah, you'd have to type in your IP address into your browser, which you still can do.
Mm-hmm.
But all this makes it so you could just type in businessinsider.com.
Gotcha.
But if someone were to gain control of ICANN database, that person would control the internet. For instance, a person could send people to fake bank websites instead of the real ones. On the other hand, if a calamity happened, the ICANN database could need to be rebuilt. So ICANN came up with a way to do that without entrusting too much control to any one person.
They can.
It selected 7 people as key holders and gave each one an actual key to the internet. It selected 7 more people to be backup holders, 14 people in all.
How do I become one?
I don't know, man. They select people so that not one country has, like, too many keys. So, like, you got, like,
so what's
keys.
The distribution of the countries?
Get put together to form a master key, which has, like, a code on it to help rebuild the server.
Wow. Does it say what the countries are that hold the keys?
I saw it's not on here. It was like another article about the same thing. And it had like a picture, and it was like US, France, Greece, Australia, then some other countries whose flags I didn't recognize. So I don't know if they were just arbitrarily putting things in there or if that's what was going on. But it turns out the internet, at least in some fashion, holds its fate in the hands
of
these 14 people.
14 individuals.
So,
keys, internet, and...
How do you feel about that? Do you feel... It's like, at first when I heard it, it sounded like some sort of weird Illuminati internet conspiracy bullshit that they were talking about. I was like, that doesn't
make any
sense.
It does sound like one of those really outlandish stories that when you first hear it, you don't know whether it's true or not.
Yeah.
Because it's just so crazy.
But then I looked it up, and I was like, oh, okay, I guess that makes sense. It's not like to be evil, spooky people who are like, we all hold the power of the internet!
Just to maintain the balance of power.
It's just, it's to make sure that the internet doesn't die at the hands of one dude who wants the internet to die. And who wants the internet to die?
Nobody I know about.
Do you want
ISIS? ISIS probably wants the internet to die.
But they're using the internet to recruit people.
But it would hurt the West a lot more than it would hurt them.
Drive a hard bargain, Matt.
North Korea? North Korea would want the internet to die.
Wasn't there... I remember reading in retaliation for the Sony hacking, the U.S. shut down all of North Korea's internet for like 18 hours.
I know it happened. I don't know if the U.S. was behind
it. I mean,
it's
like, you know, the air quotes there, but it's...
Might have been anonymous. But, or some other...
the whole country...
Hacktivist group.
Although it's not too hard because, like, you just have the government... holding all of the internet in one hand, so you just need to take that, whatever control they have over that, and just wipe that out, and then you got the internet shut down.
The whole incident was really interesting. It's like the first major incident of, like, cyber warfare. Yeah.
There's been some other minor stuff out there. Like,
well, I know North Korea was behind a similar hack of, like, a South Korean bank, I think earlier last year.
What did they do? To incur... Incur the wrath of Kim Jong-un.
They were South Korean.
I also brought up that website that we read last year.
This is the first episode of this year, or second?
Or,
I think this is the second.
Yes, this is the second. I'm sorry. I'm mistaken. But, what the fuck was I talking about?
South Koreans.
Next topic!
Oh, I was... Okay. So, I brought up the page. I don't know if you wanted to make this like a... maybe a once-in-a-while thing, or maybe every week or something like that, but I brought up the page that has those stupid personal ghost stories
The
area. So I don't know if you want to read some off this week, too.
We should. Right. We absolutely should.
Okay. Pick a random
story. That'll be our intermission between stories. We each read one.
All right, ghost sightings.
Dude, that can be, like, a new thing. Like, we each, like, pick one.
Yeah?
We each pick, like, one, like, horribly written, like, first account ghost story.
Yeah.
That we, like, picked out beforehand.
Okay, okay.
That we think is funny to read out loud.
All right. I could just pick one at random. How about New Hampton, Iowa?
Okay. Every ghost has a story.
Holy Benoli. This is a long one, folks. 2 pages.
Wait, skim it and make sure that it's horribly written.
Fast forward.
There was a bunch of drunk guys in a cemetery. Their phone kept turning off. How about Downey, California?
That looks long.
Or is it just... Oh, these are individual stories. Oh, I had that wrong. All right, I'm going to read this one because it has a comment on it.
Okay.
All right. This is coming from Downey, California. So ghost sightings in Downey, California. I used to live on Florence Avenue in Downey, California between 2006-2008. I experienced many things in my apartment, cabinets opening and closing on their own, and even loud music blaring from my radio at 4 in the morning. My daughter saw a white transparent figure standing at her bed door twice. I was whispered to in my ear more than once something that I could not see lunged. Is that how you spell lunged?
Yeah.
L-U-N-G-E-D?
Yeah.
Okay. Lunged at me in the hallway. I did not see it, but I felt it. The last straw for me was when I got grabbed while I was asleep. Okay? When I awoke, I thought I was in a dream until I saw a black figure crawling towards me. I was paralyzed. I couldn't move or scream. I moved immediately, a terrifying ordeal for me and my daughter. Submitted by Nicole.
Wow.
That was Nicole's story. Now, the comment comes from Urza. Not Ezra, Urza. That was shadow people. The reason why you were paralyzed was because of a sitting elf.
It really says that?
Yes. Sitting elf.
Well, that explains it. I should have known. All right, what's the URL for this?
So this is ghostsofamerica.com. So where is this, Matt? Where are you looking?
This story comes from Cedar Springs, Michigan. Up in that northern state that we call Michigan.
Well, go on, man.
I swear that ghosts are no nonsense. I know three things vividly burnt in memory. Just last year at Cedar View, my friend Emmy was acting dead to the world. She did respond, though. She kept saying things like, "You were never good friends, and no wonder you have no friends."
What?
The thing is, we said nothing to her for 3 days, and she said she didn't remember lunch, library, or leaving. Emmy did do one thing this year that freaked me out. In the computer class every day for a week, Emmy came in and bossed me around and called herself Meredith. She claimed she had a sister Marjorie.
Oh.
Once she mentioned that I thought it was a scam, it wasn't. Submitted by Brandy.
So she was possessed?
Is that that's what they're trying to say here, I guess.
All right.
Wow. All
right.
Well, that's our ghost stories of the day.
Ghost stories of the bye week.
Ghost stories of the fortnight.
Is that Fortnite?
I thought it was.
2 weeks or 7 days? I don't friggin' know.
Whatever. Alright, we're gonna go back here.
Back
to reality. Oh, there goes gravity.
Next topic!
The story comes from the New York Post. Published January 2nd, 2015. Possible underground Nazi nukes factory discovered.
I know they were working on it.
Suspiciously high radiation levels around the Austrian town of St. Georgen Ander Goosen had long fueled theories that there was a buried bunker nearby where Nazis had tested nuclear weapons during World War II. Those suspicions came one step closer to being confirmed last week after the opening of a 75-acre underground complex was dug out from below the earth and granite used to seal off the entrance. The excavation team was led by Austrian filmmaker Andreas Sulzer, who says the site was likely the biggest secret weapons production facility of the Third Reich, a facility that probably relied on forced labor from the nearby Mauthausen-Gusen concentration camp and may have been the testing location for a nuclear bomb.
The testing location? How do you like?
The weapons facility was believed to have been manned by SS General Hans Kammler and situated near the B-8 Berg Crystal Factory, where the first working jet-powered fighter was created. Up to 320,000 inmates are said to have died because of the brutal conditions in this subterranean labyrinth.
Well, how do they know that if they didn't even know this place existed?
I don't know.
Tell me, man.
You're going to have to talk to Sulzer.
Sulzer? Of?
The Sunday Times.
Is this another UK tabloid there, no, Matt?
This is the New York Post.
Oh, okay. But you said the Sunday Times.
Well, that's what Sulzer told the Sunday Times.
Oh. And then the Sunday Times told the New York Post?
I guess. I don't know.
The New York Post. Hey! Sunday Times! Explain to us. Birds.
So that's it.
Okay.
But that's a pretty crazy story, right?
Well, I knew that the Nazis were kind of working on getting a nuclear bomb, although there was like
it's
What if they had done
it? Yeah,
Matt?
That's what I'm. What if that's they what I'm saying? Like, make it? It's scary to think about what would have happened if the Nazis had developed nuclear weaponry before we had been able to.
Now, what if? What if we had finished the bomb before the Nazis were defeated? Would we have used it on them too?
How long before?
For what?
How long before the Nazis were defeated?
Say it happened later.
What?
Say it happens years later than... Say it happens...
What?
How are you not understanding?
You just said,
about?
What if the nuclear weapons were made before the Nazis were defeated?
Yeah.
So I'm asking, at what point before the Nazis were defeated? Because it's a big difference before the Normandy invasion, and if you're talking about, like, Battle of the Bulge era, like, we're already, like, about to win the war at that point, so...
No. Sure. What if, all right, they were 45. Say we crack the code of nuclear development in 43.
Okay.
All right.
So 1 year after we were in the, or 2 years after we were in the war? I thought it was December of 41.
That's when we were bombed.
That's when we technically went to war, though.
Could look it up.
You should.
All right. Power of the internet. American entrance into World War. No. Stop hitting things. Oh, you're right. 1941. All right. So, okay. Right.
But it was like the tail end of that war,
that year. So, it's pretty much.
That's tough. And I know there are historians who specialize in, like, those alternate theories and yeah, alternate history, and I am not one of them.
Come
I really
on, you
don't
can't have any expectations.
I'm not a historian. I really don't know what you the can't. Political climate was at the time.
Well, then
and
base it all off of your knowledge after watching History Channel.
I haven't seen anything on the History Channel since like Ancient Aliens. Like,
well, then use that to your advantage.
There is nothing Ancient Aliens has to do with this conversation we're
what,
currently
there
having.
There wasn't a Nazi episode of Ancient Aliens? Come on.
Nazis weren't ancient.
But what if they were being held? If they used
that's a separate
alien
series.
Technology?
That's Nazi aliens.
There's a Nazi alien?
No. Okay. Maybe. I don't know.
It was on me. Come on.
All right.
What would the hair say?
I would say probably not.
You don't think we would use
because... To my knowledge, the reason we used the atomic bomb on Japan was because we, at that point, we didn't want to lose upwards of 1 million soldiers doing a traditional invasion.
I mean, there's multiple ideas floating about what possibly either another one was that they wanted to have Japan surrender before Russia invaded, because then you could have had a... almost like the same situation where you have like a North and South Japan.
That would have messed
and
up
Russia
history.
Russia did invade part of Japan. Like there's still a territorial dispute over an island that
in the
Russia
north?
Occupies. Yeah, that Japan wants back.
Yeah.
But what if
I should give it back?
Right, so what if we had the bomb developed in time before, like say. You know how the Russians beat
Why
us?
Why are you posing these the questions Russians... to me? I am not a history expert.
I don't care. What if the Russians... You know how the Russians beat us to Berlin?
Yeah.
And it caused a whole lot of problems?
Right.
Well, what if we knew they were like, you know, we didn't want them to steamroll through and we did the same thing? We're just like, all right, we're going to drop those bombs to make sure that Germany surrenders to us before Russia has a chance to take too much.
Eh? Where would we have even bombed?
What's the equivalent of Hiroshima and Nagasaki?
Dresden.
We already did that. To make light of that situation. But... Come on, ancient aliens.
I guess I could entertain that theory.
Josh Gates.
Ooh. Now the gears are turning.
All right.
Well, I mean... Shouldn't we be speculating what would have happened if Germany
yeah.
had developed the nukes first? Why? This is a completely different discussion. I don't know why you started this.
I don't know why either. I was thinking that at the same time. Like, I was thinking to myself, it's like, wait a minute, this conversation was about Germany getting the bomb. Not us. Why did I go? Okay.
Now so, you're going all, like, hardcore on me.
What if Germany got the bomb, man? What would happen on our end?
If they got the bomb first, the whole tide of the war would have changed.
Do you think they would have had Europe? Do you think Europe today would still be super Germany?
I think we would have beaten Germany, especially if we were developing nuclear weapons at the same time. And, I mean...
Do you think, like, it would have gotten to a point where, like, nuclear weapons become conventional weapons of war?
It's scary to think about, but yeah, probably. If both sides had nuclear weapons and they were both using them against each other?
Yeah. We almost did with China.
Russia.
Korea. I don't know. I mean, no, not that. I'm talking about during the Korean War, General MacArthur really wanted to nuke China. No, what are you
horrible
no,
idea.
We're not doing that.
Oh my god, that would have been awful. Wasn't that after the Geneva Convention?
I don't know, probably. Maybe, possibly.
Well, Geneva Convention was in 55. Luke, you're supposed to know everything about history. You're really letting me down tonight.
And this ended in 53.
I guess it was right before. Unless the Geneva Convention was earlier.
Now I have to look up Geneva Convention.
That's what I was hinting at.
Then we got 100 angry people on the internet going, what the frick is wrong with you? The Geneva Convention was signed in blah, 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 blah by Adolf Himmelstein and...
and when was it?
Encroachment von Gubendub.
Encroachment von Dubendub.
The singular term Geneva Convention usually denotes the agreements of the 1949 negotiated in the aftermath of the Second World War.
Well, then.
Which updates the terms of treaties done in 1864, 1906, and 1920. Although I don't know if, like, the... Well, wait. Well, they added biochemical and gases and stuff in 25? Something? I don't know.
Do you know there was
well,
a treaty?
Well, there was no nukes until we made nukes, so there was no... There wouldn't be in the convention treaties.
Do you know there was a treaty in, like, the 20s, I think, that just completely outlawed war?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
right after
that.
World War One, the Kellogg-Brand Treaty, I think it was called. It's just kind of interesting to think that, like, we tried to outlaw war on, like, a large scale about 100 years ago, before the Second World War.
You remember my history teacher was going, like, yeah. Some people had some lofty ideas. I mean, you know, World War One's supposed to end all war, man.
Spoiler alert, it didn't.
Did it? Although ever since the end of World War II, we haven't had, like, a giant globe-spanning war.
Right.
So maybe that was the war to end all major wars?
I don't know. I'd say the Vietnam War was a pretty major war, though.
It was localized. It was just the U.S.
Cambodia.
Well, we got spilled over there, but it wasn't, like,
but if you think about it, it took place over, like, 20 years, and France was involved before us. No, it's still part of the Vietnam War.
Well, it's part of the history of the Vietnam War.
The Vietnamese communists were fighting, like, pretty much nonstop throughout the whole thing.
Well, for them, maybe it was longer. But for us, it was... Our longest war has been Afghanistan.
Actually, Iraq. No, Afghanistan.
Yeah, because that just ended.
Yeah.
This year. This past year. Iraq was 12. Afghanistan was 14.
But in terms of loss of life, they were pretty...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no doubt. No, absolutely not. Yeah. Is that your article, Matt?
Nope.
No?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess it's as good a place as any.
I wonder how our video turned out.
I'll tell you later when I finish it.
Or maybe I'll even see it myself.
What? You too?
Yeah. Holy it's going to be online, right? PsychoJellyfish.com?
PsychoJellyfish.com.
I'll have to check it out.
Well, Jellyheads, thanks for listening to this episode of Flapdoodle Forum. We've been your host,
Lucas Wilson.
And Matt Buckley. If you enjoyed this episode, may I suggest you hop into our website at PsychoJellyfish.com to find this and other podcasts. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes and the podcast app Stitcher. Please rate and review. It really does help with the show. If you're a fan, you want to help spread the madness, give us a like at Facebook.com/PsychoJellyfish. or follow us on Twitter at Jellycast. Any thoughts, words, comments, or questions, send it our way at email at psychodrugsfish.com or leave it in the comments. It's been a fun one, folks.
That's a wrap.
Keep it psycho. Aaron, what am I talking about?
My nipples are hard.